turn in your Bibles today to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. We're going to talk about overcoming anxiety and worries of life. I don't have to ask this question, but I will anyway. How many of you ever been worried or had anxiety? I think it's 100%. It may not be right now. Hopefully you won't. But it has happened in your life. But God has given us scripture here. He's given us His word how to overcome these things. And there's people that worry about anything. If they don't have anything to worry about, they'll make something up to worry about. But God knows our hearts and our lives. He knows what you struggle with. He understands everything about humanity because He's been there. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin the verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here, your presence. Anoint your servant to bring forth the word. Open our hearts to your understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. It's God. When is the last time something upset you? I'm not asking for a testimony service. When is the last time something worried you? Or something controlled your thoughts or your words or occupied your mind where you just couldn't think about anything else? Or when you became angry and something made you want to lash out or punish someone for what they did or said? Despair and worry is contagious, and it affects those around us. Therefore, we don't need to be full of worry and anxiety. Let me give you this illustration. There was a fellow who was about to jump from a bridge and commit suicide. An alert peace officer slowly and methodically moved toward him, talking with him all the time. Of course, try to keep him from jumping to the bridge. When the officer got within inches of him, he said to the man on the bridge, "Surely nothing could be bad enough to make you want to take your life. Tell me about it. Let's talk. Don't jump. Let's talk." The would-be jumper told how his wife had left him, how his business had gone bankrupt, and how his friends had deserted him, and he felt like that everything in life had lost meaning. The officer listened very carefully, and it seemed to be some things that were just in the officer's life. It seemed similar to the officer's life. For 30 minutes, he told the sad story, then they both jumped. You don't need anxiety in your life. You don't need worry in your life. It doesn't need to stay there. It'll come, but you don't need to stay there. And today we worry, we overcome by things. We hear our Christian faith is being attacked by the media and politics. But I want to tell you something. You know, I never heard Jesus make one political speech. He just preached the truth. And that's what it was. And that's what he is. And so the writer here in Philippians says, don't worry about anything. You say, well, that's impossible. Well, yes, you may worry about things, but it doesn't have to become your way of life. And Paul writes this into the place in Philippi, Roman colony. And for one time, not where he wrote this letter, but yet he had been in Philippi. And Paul and Silas, they had been thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. And I'm sure when they got thrown into jail, they were worried, and the jailer was given the condition, the command not to let anything happen to them, don't let them escape. And so if you're sitting in a Philippian jail, how can you say be anxious for nothing? He could face, Paul could face execution any day, and he had Jesus. And in jail, he and his partner were fastened strong in stocks and bonds which were not comfortable at all. They were in prison. And Paul looks over his companion and said, let's sing. And I'm sure his partner said, yeah, right, sing about what? Sing about these stocks and bonds? No. But as they began to sing and worship God, God sent an earthquake and shook the jail and made all their bonds fall off, and they were released. And they actually came out free, and the jailer and his wife and family all got saved and got baptized at the same time. I want to tell you something. God can make something good out of something that don't look very good. And so when our Christian faith is attacked by media or by politics or anything else, my friend, we serve an overcoming Savior, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We have anxiety over many things today. We worry about our country, about socialism, our freedoms being attacked, the unexpected things that could happen. If you want to worry about something, you can find something to worry about. But we don't have to worry about. I'm reminded of a story by a Vietnam vet. You've heard of him, no doubt, Dave Reaver. How many have ever heard of Dave Reaver? I was with him in 3 weeks of youth camps where we as a singing group were singing, and he was preaching. And he told the story while he was drafted, and so he decided, well, I don't want to go through the jungles and hunt the enemy, so I'll just join the Navy, because battleships don't go into the jungle. And he said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. The world needs me. And then he said, I think God laughed. But he said, I didn't grow up that way. He said, I didn't want to fight. I didn't want to kill anybody. I didn't want anything wrong. He said, God had called me to the ministry, and I needed to preach the gospel, and everybody needed me. And, of course, he, in his own humorous way, described that. But he didn't think Vietnam needed him, so he joined the Navy and says they don't send battleships up the stream and in the jungles. But as he was in Saigon one day, a motorcycle drove by with a North Vietnamese, and the guy on the motorcycle, with his teeth, pulled out the pin and a hand grenade and dropped it. And he said, I saw six American young men who love life just as much as you and I kicked to death in their own blood. He said, immediately I was ready to fight. And so we know that he suffered. He was about to throw a hand grenade into some bushes and to blow up things and to clear out the way. And a sniper shot the hand grenade in his hand, a phosphorus hand grenade in his hand. It blew up in his face. And he lost most of his face and would have been dead, but somehow or another God kept him alive. And he was scarred for life. And he had injuries that took anything, nothing, it took God to heal. And his face was not pretty, wasn't good. I mean, it was terrible. What happened to him? But God used him in a powerful way to minister, and he ministered long, long after, and had a place in Colorado, I believe, somewhere, where he ministered to veterans and people that had been in military action. God used him in a powerful way. And so, yes, he was worried about going to Vietnam. He was worried about being drafted, worried about all this stuff, and worried about what would happen to him after he'd had his injury. But yet, he chose to believe in God, to trust God. He chose to be anxious for nothing and to pray about everything. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations,
and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I know that's hard. But as we follow Christ, things may happen, things will happen, things do happen, but I can tell you we can have God's hope, God's peace, and God's love that will never leave us, and we can rest assured that God's got everything under control. There's an alternative to anxiety and worry. Worry doesn't get you anywhere. It may give you something to, may give you the strength to walk in a rocking, or sit in a rocking chair, but it doesn't get you anywhere. There's no upside to worry. And you say, well, I can tell today is going to be a bad day. And it might happen to you like this. You wake up face down on the pavement. You call the suicide prevention line and they put your line on hold. Your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You call your answering service and they tell you it's none of your business. Your income tax return bounces. You put both contact lenses in the same eye, and a socialist gets elected in New York. Anxiety happens to all of us. But there's an alternative to that. And he says here in the scriptures, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen to Jesus' words. If we look to Jesus' words, and I know I'm going to several places here in the scripture, but we look in Matthew chapter 6, we find what Jesus says about worry. Matthew 6:25 says, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat. Most of us worry about eating too much. What you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, in the body more than clothing? Then he gives several examples there about worry. He's saying the birds of the air, they don't worry. The lily in the field doesn't worry. He said even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like the lily. Amen. So Jesus addresses this. And so we listen to Jesus' words. How could Jesus not worry? When he knew he would face crucifixion by a rebellious nation that demanded him to be crucified, how could he not worry? But he didn't worry. He moved on. He trusted in his Father. My friend, let God be in control of your mind. The devil wants to control your mind, but God wants to control your mind. Praise the Lord. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 38, same writer, Paul, he said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, that pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? Nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news, my friend. Whatever happens, whatever could happen or might happen, it doesn't destroy God's love for you. God's love remains the same. God's love is eternal. My friend, you've got a God that loves you eternally. He's not going to stop somewhere and says you've messed up one too many times. He'll convict you and ask you to repent, but he's not going to quit loving you. He cares for you. He loves your soul. He loves you. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God is love. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul here, the writer and of the book of Philippians. He was on his way to Jerusalem. God told him, he said, you're going to prophesy to me at Jerusalem and you're going to prophesy to me at Rome. And Rome and Jews didn't get along too good. And so as Paul was about to leave and go toward Rome or toward Jerusalem, many prophesied of his coming death if he went to Rome. He said, Paul, you don't want to go there. You just need to not go there. Just go continue to preach where you are and just don't stay out of Rome. Stay out of Jerusalem. You don't need to go to those two places. But he said, through the Spirit,
Acts 20:24, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was saying here, I don't care what comes or goes my way. I don't care what threats are made. I'm going to preach God's word until it's time for me to go home to glory. And he did. He preached. Yes, he died. He died a martyr's death. We know that. He was beheaded under Nero, the Roman emperor. But we know that he made things right with God. And he said in his last words, I have finished the course. I have kept my faith. And for the joy that was laid up for him is powerful. And he says, I'm not going to quit. None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Wow. Fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. It's the way he finished. Praise the Lord. So in his anxiety, surely he could have been worried when he allowed his head to be laid on the chopping block or however they did it, and he would be beheaded for his faith, and yet he could say, I'm not worried about these things. God is in control. Anxiety and worry have to go, because you see, his thoughts, his mind, his well-being was upon the eternal and not the temporary. Praise God. So we find here that God gives us an answer here to worry and anxiety. And he says, prayer is the answer to this. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer. And you know, we hear it all the time, pray more, yes, but my friend, there's times when you just have to pour it out to God, get by yourself somewhere where there's no other distractions. Turn the TV off, turn the internet off, turn the television off, turn the radio off. Amen. Get somewhere by yourself and turn everything off except your communication with God. Pour it out before God. I mean, tell him how you feel. You can be like the guy that we were just talking about that's on the bridge about to commit suicide. But no, you're not about to commit suicide. You're pouring out your soul to God. He has an answer. He is the answer. And so he said, pray everything by prayer. Amen. The Bible tells us, confess your trespasses to one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Book of James tells us that. So fervent prayer, God will always hear. God doesn't turn a deaf ear. He may not. He probably so many times won't answer it the way you want him to, but God does answer prayer in his way, and he's always the right way. And we pray also, the answer to overcoming worry is believe God's word. You say, well, I'm so beat down all the time, and said I just doesn't seem to help me any way. I'm just beyond help. No, you're not beyond help. So I've condemned for my past, for what I've done, or choices I've made in the past, but you've come to Jesus now, and Jesus has forgiven your sins. And God has put your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. You know, Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is to the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Don't live in fear. Don't live in worry. Don't live in anxieties. God's not going to bring up on your sins and say, well, you didn't confess this one, so you don't get to go to heaven. No, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's able to make it right. Amen. He's the only one that can make it right. So we pour out our heart to him. Praise God. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I want to tell you something. There is no condemnation, not yesterday, not tomorrow night. There is now no condemnation. You can be free now, because God has made you free. Praise the Lord. You're not condemned. Jesus took condemnation for you at the cross. He took all the punishment and judgment penalties for sins at the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, not his because he didn't have any. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his iniquities because he didn't have any. But he did all this for you. He loved you. He cared for you. And he took all the judgment for our sins at the cross. Today you're not being punished. When anxiety or worry comes your way, it is just telling you, call on God, come to God. It isn't God's will for you to feel beaten down, depressed, feel defeated constantly. That isn't God's will. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. God has given us this. Praise the Lord. He said, well, I don't have a sound mind. Yes, you do. Start believing what God says instead of what you think. Quit believing your worries and your fears. Start believing what God says. God has not given us a spirit of fear. You don't have to face life in fear. There are fearful things. Yes, there are. There are things that are discouraging, things that are depressing. Yeah, but don't live there. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's got this. He's got it taken care of. Amen. He's overcame it. He overcame it for you before you ever got to where you're going. Amen. He's eternal. He knew you would face this before you ever faced it because he knows all things, past, present, and future. You say, well, I don't want somebody to know that much about me. Well, you got to get over it. He does anyway. He's God. Man. And so he knows what you're going through, what you're going to go through. Let's believe his word. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? God withheld nothing from you. If God is for you, who can be against you? There's no greater power but God. He has all authority in heaven and earth. He gave his only begotten son, heaven's greatest treasure, because he wanted you into his eternity. My friend, that's a love far beyond earthly love. That's agape love. That's godly love. And so if you're worried about things of the past, don't. God's got it. Amen. He's taken it. And Jesus addressed these things, addressed things people worry about. We'll worry about how they're going to eat, what they're going to eat, when they're going to eat, when the preacher will get through so you can't eat. But if God provides for the birds of the air, God's going to provide for you. I remember my pastor one time, he said, I was just thinking about that verse, said I was inside a restaurant, said a car pulled up, and that was just completely covered where bugs had flew in and hit the grill. And said, I saw a bird fly over there and started picking those things out of the grill. I know that's to help you with your diet. But he said, that verse came to me. God provides for the birds of the air. He'll provide for you. I don't know if I should have used that illustration, but I did. And so Jesus addressed things that people worry about. Food, clothing, appearance. Some of us, you know, I'm glad summer's over. At least people put clothes on now. But things happen. If I can tell you one more story, and then I'll be through pretty quick, okay? Man. The first church I pastored, I had a man there saved. His name was George. Great man. He wasn't saved at first. He's wild. Did all kinds of things till he got right with God. He got repented and got right with God and come to the Lord and stayed there and stayed in the faith. Eventually pastored that church for a while after I left. Man. And so his sister came to him one day, and she said, I need you to find me. Where can I find a good man? And that family held nothing back from saying anything to each other. And she told George, she said, I've lost weight, and I started fixing up a little more. My hair is combed. I'm doing good, and I'm in shape. I've exercised, and where do you think I might find a good man? And George said, you might try a Lighthouse for the Blind. Like I said, that family spared no words with anything. I don't think that was in Philippians 4, but anyway. But God replaces fear and anxiety with his peace. Philippians 4:7 here says,
With prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace here is symbolized as standing as a guard, standing over your thoughts and what concerns you.
Okay? And it says God's peace. You don't want to be away from God's peace. If you start to do something or say something or go somewhere that God doesn't want you to go, you might ask yourself, am I going to still have peace when I do this or go here or do that or say that? And the peace of God stands guard, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so God replaces fear and anxiety with peace. And peace, let's look at peace in three ways here. Peace from God. Paul continually used this as an introduction to his letters. It reminds us that our peace comes as a gift. First of all, the peace of God is a gift from God. Then there's another aspect of it, peace with God. It describes a relationship that we enter into with God in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Romans 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace is a gift from God. Peace describes a relationship with God. And peace of God here is spoken of in Philippians 4, 7 as something that guards our minds. Back in the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh, sinful nature, set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we can't concentrate and have our mind upon things of the world, because it's not going to bring peace, but the mind of Christ will be. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so God wants us to have peace. He doesn't want us to have anxiety. He doesn't want us to be worried all the time. I realize things may happen before you walk out of here that'll worry you, but I want to tell you something. God isn't worried about anything. You need to surrender your life to Him and say, God, I need your help. I need your hope. I need you to give me what I can't produce when I don't have myself. But I tell you, God can give you peace. God can give whatever is needed. He's not bankrupt. He's not out of answers. He is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You just trust in Him. Believe Him with all your heart. He'll work miracles in your life. Amen. It's a miracle that you're here today. Miracle that you breathe the next breath, that their heart beats the next time. Amen. It's because God is gracious. God is good. God loves you. God cares. Amen. God hates sin. Yes, and if you're involved in sin, God hates that sin, but He's willing to forgive you and to set you free and restore you to fellowship with Him so you won't be full of anxiety and worry all the time. Amen. Let's believe God for that. Amen. Praise God. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. With your heads bowed for just a moment, let me say this. Ask this. If today was your last day on planet Earth, are you ready to meet God? Because you will meet Him. I will meet Him. And we do not know when or how or by what means that we'll leave this world. We just know that we will. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. You don't have to worry about the judgment if you know Christ is your Savior, because Jesus took the judgment for your sins on the cross. But if you're not ready to meet God, you need to fear. Because everything you've done in your past will be brought up. And the worst thing a person can do is reject Jesus Christ, because that's the only means by which we can be saved.
Are you ready to meet God? Because you will meet Him. Whether you're here or whether you're listening by some other means of communication, I want you to pray with me. Let's just repeat what we gave to say, a sinner's prayer. And if you don't mean it in your heart, it's nothing more than a prayer. But if it's personal with you, let it be personal with you. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear God in heaven, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I'm not at peace with my soul. I don't have any certainty that I would go to heaven if I died right now. But I make the choice to believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I know my sins are many. But I ask you right now, Lord Jesus, if you would forgive my sins. For your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. I choose to believe you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to forgive every sin in thought, word, or deed that I've ever committed. I ask you, God, to cleanse my heart. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I ask you to make me clean and pure before you and forgiven. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come in my heart. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to rule and reign and be in charge of my life from here on out. I give my heart, I give my life to you today. I believe what your word says. And I believe right now that I've invited you in my life and take charge of my life. And I believe I'm saved by the power of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And God, for this congregation, I pray that you'd bless, keep, encourage, strengthen us in the faith. Lord, help us to live an overcoming, victorious life. Let's live above anxiety and fear and worry. Give us peace and hope, Lord. We love you, Lord. We give you the praise. Be magnified in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember service tonight at 6 o'clock. Be here. We'll finish up what we started this morning. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Have fellowship together.